Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Hey, Keith, tell me something cool.
Hey, John. Well, something cool has something to do with John Sterling. You! I saw Andrew Marchand put out a tweet earlier today that John Sterling will host a sports talk show from 4 to 5 p.m. on Saturday on 770 WABC AM. I'm not familiar. It's not programmed in my car. I think I know they exist. But I saw that, and I was like, hey, how come he's not coming through here? I would love John to come through here. I keep John's voice alive, you know, in my show. I don't always have something cool to tell you, but I thought that that worked for today. And the other cool thing I have to report is, oh, man, they're tripping down in NBC Sports Philadelphia 215. Shout out to my boy Dre. Dre listens to WFAN all day. He sent me a post of the Phillies postgame show now that the Phillies lost the series. And I got to get the true audio because this is like someone filming their TV. But the way that the guy started the show off, the way he started their postgame show was hilarious. First off, like the Yankees and even SNY, they never do this. But this guy is like, okay. He's like, there is no rivalry between the Mets and the Phillies. The Mets own the Phillies. The Phillies have lost six of their last, let's see, and then here's the House of Horrors graphic. The Phillies have lost the last six games and seven of the last eight at Citi, including the postseason. They have a 6-19 record at Citi Field since 2022, including the postseason. Their 59-79 all-time record at Citi Field, a .428 win percentage. The Phillies do not enjoy coming to Queens. And somebody tweeted me earlier asking about, you know, what percentage of fans I thought were in there from Philadelphia. And I'm like, less than 15%. And if they showed up to either one of these games, they probably were out of there early. There's no Philadelphia presence in Citi Field taking over that building. The Mets fans are showing up 37,000 deep. How many Phillies fans? Maybe 1,000? And they're quiet as a mouse. So 888-808-1019. Before we get back to the Giants draft conversation, Josh is in Passaic on the Fan. Go for it, Josh.
Hey, Keith, what's vibing? How you doing, man?
You know, talking through the New York sports.
Yes, I actually just got back from Florida tonight, and I'm actually wondering in my head which was more brutal. Watching the Devils versus Hurricanes, or this woman sitting next to me that was laughing from her screen the entire plane ride. You didn't know how much I had to hold back from telling something to this person.
Did you tap her? Did you tap her? Like, hey, can you keep it down?
No, I didn't say anything, but she was two seats away from me. I was expecting the guy to my left to do, but he had earbuds in.
Oh, you better than me. You better than me. I would have been like, yo, chill. It was a nighttime flight?
Yeah, she couldn't stop. There's this baby on the other side of me that's coughing for 5 minutes straight, told us something came out of its throat. It sounded like its brains or something, but then the kid was quiet.
Well, It's funny because I used to never be the guy on the plane with the baby, and I used to hate the sound of these babies, and then now I'm the guy walking my baby through the aisle trying to get my baby to chill. The babies are fine. But grown people that won't shut up or that won't stop laughing at whatever they're watching or whatever, like, be quiet. We're all on the same flight together. It's mad disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree with you with the babies and stuff. And I have three younger siblings. Like, no, it's with everyone. But she's in her, like, 40 or something. Like, I don't care how funny it is. Like, you got to control yourself. But anyway, that kid, that Devils game. And I think the major difference is, if you remember when the Devils were at their top point this year and they still had Jack Hughes, if you would look at the box scores at the end of the game, it would be Devils out shooting the opposing team, no matter who it was. It could be Florida, whichever team was. It was like 40-15. And now when they lose speed, when they've lost a bunch of defenders, Markstrom's under a blitz. Tonight it wasn't. He was still under a lot, but at least Devils got a few more shots for that first game. He's played great, but there's a limit to how much he could actually do, and it's just been very tough. And the Hurricanes are always a tough team for the Devils to play. And, you know, this is why when Jack Hughes went down, you know, we're like, well, we want to be confident in the team. You know, they did pick it up the last week, but it's a real tough series. You know, this happened a few years also, you know, where they went down 2-0. Sure, they'll pull one off in the Rock. You know, be pumping, but right now this is a hard spot. I can't really see them getting past Carolina.
Yeah, Luke Hughes being down, obviously Jack Hughes. It was a good start. Jesper Bratt, the Bratt man, being able to score that early goal, but then they didn't score again. And, I don't know. It's tough to watch because you know the team is better than you, and you know that your team could be better. It's the playoffs now, and it's the most exciting hockey, and you just don't feel like you really have a puncher's chance.
And that Hurricanes horn gives me nightmares from 2 years ago. Every time it goes off, you know, it's loud, fans going crazy, and whatever. Sure, they're in the job. Anyway, he's with those Knicks. I was by someone's house last night watching the game. I came by at the end. It's like all Knicks fans. And, you know, I picked the Knicks in all my brackets. I'm fine going for them for the first round. And they got very mad at me because when Bridges went up for that three with 13 seconds, I just had to say it. I shouted, as he went shooting for him, like, five first-round picks. And then after he missed, I got it from the whole crowd. But still, overall, it's pretty enjoyable. But
yeah,
it was tough for all the Knicks fans that they lost. You know, they had the chance coming back in the game, looked like the game beforehand. But I still think they'll win this series. The Pistons, whatever. And I love how all these teams are complaining. You know, Al Horford's complaining. Hiz is complaining about not getting calls.
Everybody's like complaining. Everybody's lobbying. And even
welcome to the modern day NBA. If you drive in and you don't get points, whether from fouls or scoring your shot, then the guy's crying on the other side. It's nuts.
It's just standard. They all have their hands in the air. They spend too much time talking to the refs. That's why they say they're lobbying. It's like, okay, if you didn't get the call then, I'm lobbying for you to get it on the next one.
And then, Keith, just before getting to my Mets, were you in American Dream yesterday?
No, I was not in the American Dream list. Someone thought they saw me?
Yeah, they're like, you got to ask Keith. I think I saw an American Dream, but I guess not.
Well, if it was me, all you got to do is be like, yo, Keith. I would have been like, what up? What's good? You need something? You know me?
And I guess this guy was nervous or something, whatever. He just asked me. Anyway, Keith, looking at the Mets, yes, Mets fan, like, how do you think David Peterson's doing so far this year? I'd say he's doing great. You know, after he had a great year last year, we're looking for this type of stuff. And he has had a great start. One of the funniest parts about that is David Peterson is the worst starter on the Mets right now, ERA-wise. That is just something to think about. And he's pitched well, 3.17 ERA. And he has a worse ERA than almost every single pitcher in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting very nervous right now as I continue to see this, is that something's going to come out that the Mets are doing that's wrong or something. Like Griffin Canning, I never heard of this guy before this year. Like his stats, he's just a guy that's lucky to be starting every game. And this guy's doing crazy. And I'm actually really nervous that something's going to come out against them or something. And as you were mentioning with the Philly fans, when I was watching the game, like I kept on thinking I would see Philly fans as the ball goes in the air. It was none of them. When you look at City Field, it's pretty good. What can I say, Keith? Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for making the call, Josh. That was a lot, but I appreciate it, man. You guys sure know how to fill time. We talked about the plane. We talked about babies on the plane. We talked about a 40-year-old lady cracking up watching her iPad. We talked about the Devils. We talked about the Mets.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's no Philadelphia fans. They're still feeling it from last year. I just think you're bold if you're coming all the way up from Philly to this series. Like, wait until the season gets going. Maybe there's some Philadelphia, Pennsylvania people in New York that are taking the train or, you know, driving to Citi Field, but it's not even close. It's not even close. The Mets own them in Citi Field as of these last few years. 888-808-1019. You want that home field advantage. The Mets have literally made a home field advantage. You want to feel like you have the upper hand in your building. You want to feel like your division rivals come to town. And, you know, I was saying when they were facing the Cardinals, yo, you got to sweep the Cardinals. You got to have a little bit of a lead going into the Philadelphia series just in case. Well, there's no just in case. Look at the standings. The lead is built, right? The Mets have a 4-game lead in first place. I know it's April. The standings don't matter, but it does. Because the same way as I go back, right, the same way that we talk about it's early and this stuff doesn't matter, well, there are analysts going on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and they're tweaking over this because they're saying, I got to find the audio, man. It's just the audio that I have is not good audio to play on the radio. But they're saying, you know, God forbid the Phillies don't win the division or don't make the playoffs. Like, we're going to think back to these games. Are you? Yeah, I guess. I guess the math is the same. These games go into the same equation. Yeah, let's see. Phillies post-game show crushes team after blown game against Marlins. This is an article that was written 2 days ago in the New York Post. And the quote was, we never count these games in April. This is from Michael Barkin, NBC Sports Philadelphia. If the Phillies should, heaven forbid, fail to make the playoffs, fail to win the division, or they fail to win home field, look at this game right here. 4-1 into the seventh. They didn't do what they needed to do. The errors committed, the blunders committed. They wasted a great performance by Jesus Luzardo. So that was when they blew the game against the Marlins. And then they come into Citi Field off that series, and they've had nothing. They've had nothing. They've been owned. And the Mets just need 5 runs to win. 5-4, 5-1. And if you take away that ninth inning, it's really, the Mets have owned the Phillies going back for years. Long story short story long. 888-808-1019. Back to the draft. You know, you wanna watch the draft and feel like you hit. And we never know. It's all got to play out. But there's so much more risk in taking a Shedeur Sanders than an Abdul Carter. There's so much more risk in taking a Travis Hunter than an Abdul Carter. I don't know. Some would say, and shout out to Jay in my live chat on YouTube. Man, we're up there. Between Twitter and YouTube right now, we've got 1,888. We might get to 2,000 by 2 a.m., which is always solid. Appreciate y'all watching the stream. Jay says that they should take, let's see, Jay from I see what you did, Jay. Jay changed his name to Jay Dupree Johnson Brand because my YouTube is McPherson Brand. So Johnson Brand. But there's already a Johnson & Johnson Brand. But he says Cam's going first. Carter's going second. The Giants need to use pick three and get two players for one. Travis Hunter, a big play receiver opposite Neighbors, and a big play corner. I just don't think that the Giants are in a position where they could experiment or play around with a guy who's been very vocal about wanting to play both sides of the ball because that's how he's always played football. And if he doesn't get that opportunity to play both sides of the ball, like he literally threatened to retire. And hey, I had a Yankee caller who was just on hold. If you got to go to bed, you got to go to bed. But I did want to still get to you. Right now we're going to Moose in Jamaica on the fan. Go for it, Moose.
Yeah, what it do, Keith?
You know, talking about a little bit of everything, and you know, the Yankee fans probably do want to call in and complain. I know you're a Yankee fan as well, but hey, tomorrow's the
draft. I'm not worried about the Yankees. It's April, Keith. Let's stick to the draft. That's why I called. So yeah,
heard you.
To break down my call, to break down this call to you right now, I want to give you the reasons why. First, I believe we should have kept the regime, more so Dable, not so much Shane. Second, why we kind of need to take Shador and at three and not even do messing trading around, and the rest of the picks of the draft, what position we should go for. I know these are unpopular opinions, contrary to common belief, but I've been watching football for 30 years in this country. My eyes don't lie to me when I see stuff on the TV, on the film. So, yeah. Dable and Shane. Dable, in 2022, had talent on both sides of the ball. Lost talent that offseason after we got eliminated from the playoffs. Some of those players that we lost to free agency went to other teams, helped propel them to the playoffs with competent players around them. So I know Dable, if he has talent and players that can play, can lead us to victories. Shane, I think his problem is he doesn't have the right assistants in place to evaluate talent, but hopefully he can get some new heads, some new brains, some new thoughts, some different set of eyes on making decisions and stuff like that. So, yeah, and why we should take Shador. With all due respect to Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, their careers need real sparks that the Giants cannot provide with the current team situation we have that will provide any sort of salvation for their jobs. And Shador is going to be the only hope if he gets the right coaching from Dable and some decent offensive line play so that he can be this year's the quarterback for the Washington Redskins. I'm tired. I can't remember his name.
He can't be. Jaden Daniels. He can't be.
Anything's possible because we need some energy. I don't mean to cut you off,
but there's definitely some people in the Giants organization probably talking like you, and then there's people countering. Jaden Daniels is Jaden Daniels. He came into a situation that was brand new, completely, right? Dan Snyder gone. New head coach in Dan Quinn. New offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury. And his competition was Marcus Mariota.
I think Shador is coming into new situations in two different colleges, whether his dad was the coach or not, didn't have much talent around him and propelled the teams to victories against decent competition better than his own team, and leading him to victory is all the proof you need that he can do it in the NFL with grown men who don't take BS for answers.
I like Shador and I like Dion and I follow all of them. I watch the Amazon Prime doc. I follow this kid's two legendary podcasts. He did it at an HBCU, and he did it in the Pac-12, and he barely did it in the Pac-12. That is not all the evidence you need that he can do it in the NFL. It is not a lock, not a guarantee. The Giants aren't a ready-made situation for him to come in and succeed at all.
I don't think it's a ready-made. I think it's when push comes to shove, you'll see the cream rise to the top. That sort of different air he breathes when he gets into competition.
I think
mode.
He's going to need a couple years, man. Field. I think he's going to need a couple years to develop. He's going to need a couple years to adjust to the speed of the NFL, what it's like in the NFL, not having his daddy around in the NFL, and not saying that's any problem. Like, it's great that Dion was there to coach him through high school and college, but what happens when your pops is not the head coach? What happens when you don't get the preferential treatment as the coach's son? You know, there's a lot of reports coming out about how entitled and arrogant he is, and you need that. You definitely need that to survive as a quarterback, but, like, he's got to go to the right situation. I don't think the Giants are the right situation for him, for real.
Fine, we'll agree to disagree upon that. As for the rest of the draft, with the second round pick, if we can't catch an offensive guard/tackle combo who can fit in and replace an injured player or compete for a starting job in camp, trade down in the second round, pick him up there. With the first third round pick, select us a sub-package corner who's good in man coverage on third down, because the Giants like to play a lot of man coverage on third down. The second third round pick, either select a defensive tackle or defensive end that can slot at that edge position in the defensive end spot in the 3-4, so that the outside pass rushers. Because the thing is, when Dexter Lawrence was healthy, we led the league in sacks. That's why I don't think we need Abdul Carter for more pass rush. Because if Dexter Lawrence is healthy, he catches all the double teams, and Thibodeau and Burns are able to attack the quarterback seamlessly with one-on-ones, and they usually win. That's why we led the league in sacks until Dexter Lawrence got hurt. That's why he was the best defensive tackle in the game. And then for the fifth round pick, select a wide receiver. And then in the sixth round and the seventh round, pick up a middle linebacker and another linebacker.
Said anything about drafting an offensive lineman, or did I miss that?
No, I said that in the second round. If we can't pick up a first-round grade offensive guard/tackle combo who can plug and play right away in the second round, trade down in the second round, and select them there. Because you know how offensive linemen are either top-heavy in the first round or back-ended in the second round?
Yeah.
There's none right in the top of the second round. That's how the grades usually work out.
And you want
them
to get a man coverage corner?
A sub-package. We signed a nickel corner in the off season, but you kind of need two nickel corners on third and longs or third and mediums, because, like, whether it be Tyler Newbin plugging in as a sub linebacker in a nickel defense, we might have to be in the dime or some sort of sub package where there's one linebacker, three safeties, and four corners.
You're gonna have Paulson Adebo. You're going to have Deontay Banks. You're going to have Javon Holland. You'll have Tyler Newbin. And you'll have
Newbin and Holland and the other dude are safeties.
Andrew
now,
Phillips.
Holland and Newbin. Well, what, Glenn?
Andrew Phillips will be the nickel corner.
But Deontay Banks is on the downside.
He's going to play. Really, but they're going to they drafted him 2 years ago. They're going to give him an opportunity to be the other outside corner. I think he'll be opposite Paulson Adebo, and he's the guy that you signed.
Yeah, exactly. And so whatever, pick up another defensive slot corner, somebody good in man coverage, because the Giants like to play a lot of man coverage on third down and match zones.
Okay.
So. So basically, the back end of the draft is wide receiver and linebackers. Middle linebacker and outside linebacker for coverage.
Okay, so
if we have an extra pick, take another offensive lineman in the fifth or sixth round. Those are the spots we need to hit.
All right, I'm kind of with you, Moose. Thanks for the call. 877-337. That's the old number. Now you got me. I'm like, all right, how many picks do they have? And why would these be the exact needs? And none of us really know. But I feel like you mentioned some spots that they addressed in free agency. Let me see. Giants number of draft picks. I mean, this offseason, the Giants had money to spend, and they have picks. So the New York Giants have 8 draft picks in the 2025 NFL draft. They have the number 3 overall. And I'm trying to get the other ones, 34 overall. And then there'll be 6 other ones after that. You also have to play the board, you know. Like, you want another receiver. Just a couple years ago, Jalin Hyatt was there. They traded up to get him, and we thought that was a steal. you got to play the board of, you know, the best available for needs. And sometimes if a guy's just falling, you take that guy. There's no way for us to ever mock it up and be exactly spot on. There's no way for us to know. The Giants need talent and build through the trenches. I think they have enough wide receivers. I think they have enough DBs. You need offensive linemen and offensive linemen depth. You need defensive linemen and defensive linemen depth. I like the thought of getting some linebackers, though. Even though the Giants linebackers were, you know, two of the top graded guys at certain times, Micah McFadden and Bobby Okereke, even though there were times where Bobby Okereke did not really give you his best or, you know, was caught on tape, not necessarily going after it. They signed Chris Board. Let me go to their free agency tracker. I think you mentioned getting another edge rusher, and I keep telling you, from the Dallas Cowboys, Chauncey Golston is here. And he's played with Dallas, and he's not a game wrecker, but he's going to get reps in there. Let's see. And they did sign a couple offensive linemen, so maybe they're not. I don't know. I would still take some young offensive linemen because these old guys are, they're one play away from being shut down for the year. And the Giants seem to always have 10 different configurations of their offensive line. And I'll say this, you know, before we go to break here, and you guys are on hold, I'm coming to you. Mark, Tommy, we got two guys from Brooklyn on hold. This is my last run of calls. If you don't have an offensive line, and I feel like this is always the thread with the Giants. If you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. Daniel Jones, Tommy Cutlets, Timmy Boyle. Timmy Boyle is going to be backing up Will Levis while Will Levis backs up Cam Ward. It doesn't matter if you have Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Shedeur Sanders. If nobody's blocking up front, like you're in a division where you got to face Jalen Carter. Like if nobody's blocking up front, that's where I'd make sure we have some guys. Because you know what, too? You may have missed on some guys. I'm not so sure about Evan Neal. Actually, I am sure about Evan Neal. He's not it. And which is crazy because he was a lock. I remember Michael Irvin raving about Evan Neal. I'm like, Mike, you set up the Giants. And then John Michael Schmitz, I've seen him get run over a lot. I've seen him get bullied a lot. You might want to look to get another center. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls on what the Giants should do in the draft. No one's really calling about the Jets because the Jets, I thought this was funny too. When we come back, I'm going to talk about, I didn't really talk about Darren Mooji swerving the Aaron Rodgers question. I did talk about how Aaron Rodgers broke it down, but I'll talk about the Giants draft and, you know, the Jets and how, you know, they have just been quiet and locked, and that's a good sign for the Jet fan. So my last 23 minutes coming up, this is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Dial 888-808. 1019 if you'd like to join the show. We'll be back after a quick timeout.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
In the city, in the towns, borough to borough, I'm ready for the summer for real. I'm ready for it to get warm and stay warm. Like today was another little flirtatious day with the warm weather. Let's see what the schedule looking like, what the weather schedule looking like, the weather forecast they call it. I think we might be there. We might be there. I know I'm going to the Yankee game Friday and Saturday. It's supposed to be 72 both of those days. It'd be nice if it was straight warm. You got to look at the low, though, because I think I came out of here last week. There was one night I came out of here last week. I'm like, damn, I was underdressed. I was like, we're right back to the winter. It was windy and cold, but yeah, Sunday, the low of 48. I could deal with that. We almost there, man. Before you know it, right, we get through this draft week. We get through this, you know, first round of the playoffs. Boom. It's May 1st, a week from tomorrow. And then it's Cinco de Mayo. And then before you know it, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we're in the clear. We back outside. 888-808-1019. Before I get to Mark in Brooklyn to talk more about the Giants draft, the Jets, man, I thought it was hilarious that Darren Mooji, right after Aaron Rodgers waits, because I think it was like February where we started to hear that they were going to move on from Aaron Rodgers or whatever, and here we are now, damn near May. The Jets knew that Aaron Rodgers was going to run to Pat McAfee and tell his side of the story at some point. The Jets, however it went or didn't go, because like Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old and he told the story verbatim, and our minds always play tricks on us, especially as time goes on, right? Something's going to happen and your recollection and your retelling of the story is not going to be exact, but whatever. It doesn't matter how he tried to make the Jets look, because the Jets moved on from him. So say what you want about them making him fly across the country, how they handled it, you know, according to Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't matter. They made a decision. And I told y'all they were making that decision. I'm sure if I could go back to my notes, I had a bunch of reasons, right? I had a bunch of reasons why they would move on from Aaron Rodgers. The only reason that we had for them to stick with Aaron Rodgers was that, okay, veteran quarterback, they got a win right out of the gate. You know, and I also even leaned into the fact that Aaron Glenn, former player, might have some type of, you know, empathy, might have some type of connection with Aaron Rodgers as like, okay, this is how you're going out. No. Quite the opposite. I think Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji are too confident. Or they're confident, but they might be too confident. Because they didn't even really entertain Aaron Rodgers. They better be right about Justin Fields. So when the question came up to Darren Mooji, he refused to answer any question about Aaron Rodgers. He said, I understand the question, but I'm going to just talk about the draft and the current Jets players. So at least right now they're presenting like we're all business, no distractions. And it's funny because Aaron Rodgers was the one who wanted all the distractions out of the building, right? Now you're starting over and it seems you have a GM and a head coach that are no nonsense, all business, and their lips are sealed. You can't really remember months ago there was a rumor that the Jets wanted Cam Ward and we're going to trade up for Cam Ward. They're not trading up for Cam Ward. It's Justin Fields. It's Tyrod Taylor. And then we'll see what Jordan Travis is. And I still don't believe that, like, you know, the rumor that, oh, if Shedeur Sanders falls to 7, the Jets have to take him. No, they don't. For what? For why? They got to win this year. And I really do think Tyler Warren would help them win this year. But I also know that they're not looking for the sexy pick. They're not looking to impress the fan base with their first pick. They're looking to fill a spot. And Armon Membu, as your right tackle out of Missouri, is going to fill that spot. And there's some people that feel like he's the best tackle in the draft. Obviously, some people have Will Campbell, but they knocked his short arms, whatever. So there are other people that are saying Armon Membu is the best tackle in the draft. They'll get that offensive line right, and they're going to run the ball, and they'll be happy with that. You know, Tankathon mock draft has them taking a corner second round, Siobhan Revel Jr. out of East Carolina, maybe, perhaps, with the departure of DJ Reed. But I just think the Jets are going to get some solid players, and they're going to get a certain kind of player. You know, that's the last thing I'll say before we take this next call. When Aaron Glenn was in Detroit, there was a certain kind of player that they were drafting that they were looking for. I'm sure they had a list of certain characteristics and intangibles of the type of guy that could come to Detroit, Michigan, buy into their program, and succeed. And I think they'll have a similar type of process in selecting guys for this Jets team. Mark is in Brooklyn. Thanks for holding, Mark. You're live on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? Big fan.
Thanks,
always listen to you every night.
Thanks, man.
Just a mess. I was at City Field tonight. Crazy atmosphere. Everyone's just waiting for Juan Soto to get a hit. Like, when is he going to do something?
I mean, the funny thing is, when he does start killing it, that place is going to go crazy. But what a luxury to have this high-priced player that is so powerful but not even need to use his powers? Like, how grand is it for, you know, Lindor and Alonso and guys like Luis Torrens and Jose Oscar,
yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
crazy, yeah.
It's crazy to go to the ballpark and you're waiting for Soto to do it, but he doesn't have to do it. And one day he will. He's not going anywhere. It's 15 years.
Yeah, honestly, like, Torrens, like, when Alvarez comes back, like, Torrens is a way better arm.
Yeah, they're not going to rush Torrens out. They're,
like, Torrens throws out everyone. Like, they can't run on him.
Yeah, the cannon. He's so much better than I knew he was. I didn't really know much of him with the Yankees.
Yeah. Also, this Giants, like, tomorrow night, like, I think, like, Travis Hunter or nothing, honestly. Like, we need both sides of the ball.
If the Cleveland Browns take Abdul Carter, then, yeah, take Travis Hunter. But if Travis Hunter is off the board, which, like, it would make sense, right? Like, they went and got Kenny Pickett via trade. They got Joe Flacco to re-sign with them. So, you know, they should be good on quarterbacks. And I don't think they're taking Shedeur Sanders at two. Even if they do take Shedeur Sanders at two, then you have the option of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. I just think that, you know, Travis, and I've said this, and I could be completely wrong, but Travis being so hard-pressed on, I'm going to play corner, I'm going to play receiver, I'm going to do both. I know Joe Shane has been, you know, vocal about being open to it, but I just think anybody that takes it on, it's like, you got to take this kid on as what he wants to be, and I think that works out better.
Yeah, but if it works out, then he's got both sides of the ball, both needs that the Giants really need, so it could work out well.
I mean, if it works out, he is such an attraction to any team. Everybody's going to want to watch just to see this kid stay on the field.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think he's going to be able to do it. And I don't mean to be a hater. It's never been done for a reason.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate you, bro. 888-808-1019. Let's talk about that for a second. Like, for anybody that, you know, played football growing up listening, you know, when you start playing Pop Warner, you play both sides. The best players play both sides. But you're kids, you know. One of these nerds on Reddit are about to write a little thread about, you know, me bragging about playing football. Or like, did you know Keith played football? But when I started playing football, I actually was a tight end DN. It made no sense. It was just like junior peewee football. I was number 85. I had the birdcage face mask, and I played both sides. Then, literally the next year, I played football. Shout out to Coach Williamson. He was smart. He's like, you should play quarterback. We got a good running back. We got a couple other guys. Like, you can throw the ball. You can run the ball. And when you're 10, 11 years old, you're not really throwing the ball anyway. I was running bootlegs and you know, waggles and, like, I don't know. We had stupid, like, wing T type plays. But you never came off the field. I also played corner. Okay, I did that through Pop Warner. And then when I got to high school, I remember my coach, shout out to Matt Hoyle, my freshman year, was like, yo, we got enough guys. You're going to just play quarterback. And I thought that was weird. I'm like, I want to play both ways. But now I'm getting in a high school level where he's like, no, we're going to protect you. We can't have you tackling a guy getting hurt. And like my freshman football team, I think we were 7-1. So then I got to play at the end of the year with the junior varsity. I played one junior varsity game my freshman year, then never played JV again. But my sophomore year I came in, and the first action that I got was at Todd Frazier's high school, Toms River South. I remember being so scared. I remember being shooketh because they had a good running back. I remember, you know, almost tackling this kid, and I don't even know how I did it. I remember just knocking him out of bounds. But the first action I got was playing corner, and I was still a quarterback, but there was an older quarterback ahead of me. But everybody played two positions, offense, defense. But as you get older, you can't do that. The game gets faster. It gets more physical, right? So, like, it got to a point where my sophomore year, the starting quarterback goes down, and now I'm the starting quarterback. I can't play defense. You got to just play quarterback. And then I never played defense again. For 3 years, started varsity sophomore, junior, senior year at quarterback, and then you get recruited. And Travis Hunter was recruited by Nick Saban. He was recruited by everyone. He was supposed to go to Alabama, and then he had to decommit and switch and threw you know, the Jackson State hat on. And I just think about, like, how do you even get recruited as a two-way player? We're going to offer you a scholarship. We're going to play both ways. But, you know, even in college, you've seen Darren Woodson and even Prime. Peppers coming out of Paramus Catholic. You know, he went to Michigan, and he returned kicks and played defense, and they had some plays for him, but it's just so hard to do. Jabril Peppers. If this kid is able to come into this NFL, play receiver, even if it's only in certain packages because certain personnel, he's not going to be on the field. I think he should be a third receiver, maybe even the fourth receiver when you go four wide, so he's not on the field that much. What, I mean, for an offensive coordinator, what a distraction he is. Oh, number 12's in the game, Travis Hunter. The broadcaster's going to be announcing it. The fans are going to be, when he's coming in a game, like, okay, I'm not giving him the ball. He's a straight-up decoy. I'm sending him deep, or I'm faking the ball to him. I'm not even giving him the ball. I wouldn't give him the ball for weeks. I just use him as like a fake gadget. I'm just, everybody draw the defense attention, the whole defense. Like, hey, 12's in the game. 12's in the game. 12's in the game. But if he's able to come into the NFL and flip, like, it is going to be a spectacle. Maybe the Giants want that. Maybe the Giants could. I mean, this is New York. Maybe the Giants want to try and facilitate it. Maybe they don't, though. I just don't think they don't have any time for experiments. They don't have any time for games. Jay is up in the Bronx on the Fan. Go for it, Jay. You're in there.
K-Mac, I had to call in before you went off tonight. I agree with you, man. It's like Travis Hunter, you know, he's the best player in the draft. I watched every game that they played at Colorado, and it's a first time for everything, you know, just like we never saw. I know you're not big on Ohtani, but we saw 50-50 for the first time. You know, same thing with Hunter. You know, these athletes now, they're more evolved. You know, they're different. We can't just keep them in the nutshell of how the game has been played in the past. If this man is athletic enough and has the ability to play football, because remember, football is three phases to the game. It's defense, offense, and special teams. So a true football player plays all three.
Right.
And like you said, some individuals have dabbled in all three. You know, Deion Sanders, Jabril Peppers, you know, there's a few, Charles Woodson. But this guy seemed like...
I said Darren Woodson before. You knew I meant Charles Woodson.
Right, I know you. Come on now, we on the same page. Heisman Trophy, yeah. You know, you inspired me to put the brand after my name. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you, man.
Johnson brand.
I told you. Yeah, this is Jay from the Bronx. That first night we spoke the other night when I was bidding you up about Jackson King, you know, your son and
everything. Appreciate you, bro.
You being a role model and all that, for real, man. You holding it down for the brothers, man, on WFAN.
1,000.
You
know,
and you holding it down for the Yankee fans, man. To say it's WFAN Yankee Radio, it feels like WFAN Mets Radio. Because, you know, I keep my radio on WFAN. So I hear all the shows when I can, you know. But anyway, like I was saying, you and McMonagle, man. Thank God for y'all two on the late night to hold it down for the Yankees. And he come on right after you. So it's like, boom. But, Travis Hunter, if he's not there at three, because I don't think they're going to think about it. If you was a GM, K-Mac, would you take Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter?
I would, just because of the upside. I feel like you can't go wrong. He's going to be able to do something productive. If he does both, then you hit a lottery ticket that nobody else in the history of the NFL ever has. If he's just good at one, he is explosive when he gets the ball in his hands. That's what I'll give him. As a corner, I thought he could have had a couple more picks, but they didn't throw his way. But as a receiver, when he catches the ball and he puts his foot in the ground, he is out of there. And then he also has just like great hands to make contested catches. But what I also wonder about him, his size as far as like, when you get to the NFL, all these dudes are strong as hell. All these dudes, right. like, Like he,
well, what is he like, 6'1", 205?
I mean, they list him at 6'5", 188.
Oh, man, yeah, he's going to have to put on at least 15 or 20 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, because you're going to get bullied. You can get pushed. Yeah, you can get punched and be on the ground. So so much of you playing both ways. Like that's, imagine him having to go up against A.J. Brown and then flip around and go up against Quinyon Mitchell or Devontae Smith and then flip around and have to go against Cooper DeJean.
Right, and have to tackle Derrick Henry in an open field.
It's too, like, and he's going to be tired at some point and overmatched at some point as well. Jay, you the man. Appreciate the call and interacting on the live chat. We didn't get to 2,000 in the live chat. We're at 91963. Appreciate everybody that watched. Appreciate everybody that called. Everybody that said, I don't need to watch. I don't need to call. I just listen. And I appreciate the people that are like, I'm listening, waiting for you to go. Can you get out already? Are you done? Yeah, I'm done. C-Mac is coming up next. We'll be back to do this again tomorrow. Another KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for listening. I'm out. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9.